And now live from the Dave and Darren Patron Lounge.
It's our kickoff to summer spooktacular.
That's right. It's the kickoff to summer spooktacular patron exclusive show. Hello, patrons. My name is Dave. I believe you know my partner, Darren. Hello, Darren.
Hello. Here's a Arnold Palmer.
Ooh, very fanciful.
I'll never tell.
You'll never tell what?
Arnie knows.
What was the campaign? It was only your hairdresser knows for sure. Do you remember that? Wasn't that an old-timey commercial?
If you're dyeing your hair?
Only the hairdresser knows for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. At some point, I got to go to the hairdresser, though. How many
secrets
am I gonna
keep? Only your hairdresser knows that you committed you committed a robbery.
Wheel of Fortune fans are furious at last night's contestants. Once again,
boy, this is just never ending anymore. I think it's time to pull the plug, cut the cord
on this Wheel of Fortune.
Yes, before someone gets hurt.
The Wheel of Fortune fans getting absolutely destroyed online as being dummies, as two of them somehow made the same unbelievable mistake. During the first toss-up game of the night, two players ended up making a big error when it came to their answers.
See, now I thought this is what has happened in the past, and then Pat Sajak has to come out and go, hey, listen.
That's kind of what happens here. Miranda,
give these people a break.
It's the toss-up, and Miranda buzzes in to try and solve, but she gets it wrong.
Yeah.
She says, splendid surprise, which was close to what the answer was.
Uh-huh.
But there weren't even enough boxes on the board for surprise to work out.
Okay.
Maybe she, I don't know. Surprise is a tricky one because it's surprise, and some people maybe go surprise. I don't know.
Yeah.
Pat says no. Everybody else? And then a couple seconds later, Jeff buzzes in with his own response.
And says the same answer?
Splendid surprise.
Does he?
Yeah.
Okay, well.
And Sajak answers, still not.
Still not. See, no. Now that's the sort of thing I would pull. I'd be constantly guessing the previous person's guess. it wouldn't be like just once. It would be like throughout the entire contest.
If there wasn't money on the line, if I was the third person, I would have buzzed in and said it too. Just to see if I could make Sajak crack.
This is the end.
But the final player, Kevin.
I'm going to put an end to the Wheel of Fortune. I'm going to, right here. Little old me.
Kevin then buzzes in with the correct answer, which was splendid sunrise. Sended a splendid sunrise. Yeah. One person.
What kind of saying is splendid sunrise?
I don't know. It's a splendid sunrise, I guess. Splendid sunrise.
Tequila sunrise.
Still incorrect.
Is it tequila surprise? No. It wasn't a minute ago, and it isn't now. And this is the fourth time during this program that you've guessed what has already been established as a wrong answer.
Yeah, I would have just yelled splendid surprise for every.
Is it splendid surprise?
I'd like to solve the puzzle. Is it splendid surprise?
And then just, and say Jack knows what you're doing.
Oh, yeah. Not a damn thing he can do.
No, nothing. Will he lose his mind?
I'm going to guess splendid surprise? No. No, that's...
Let me ask you, were you surprised by my answer?
I have a splendid surprise for you, Pat. Is the answer splendid surprise? Oh, no.
Aren't I just a devil in disguise?
Just trying to get that little vein to pop up in your forehead there, Sajak.
I see it starting to kind of twitch.
I've been sent by someone to take care of you. I'm an errand boy
from the people at NBC.
I guess there's a kid who got a word wrong in the spelling bee. You know, that's going on now.
Is it?
Yeah. It seems like
Shouldn't they wrap that up before school, you know, before school's over?
That's what I'm wondering. With the 2022 Scripps National Spelling Bee Finals happening, and You would think they would do that at the beginning of the school year or in the middle of the school year. These kids, what do these kids know?
Give them a break.
Yeah. I mean, maybe this is the last thing you do, but this contestant gave a wrong spelling. This guy's name is Surya Kapoor. He's a 13-year-old from Utah. He misspelled the word leucovorin, which is a medicine that's used to counteract the side effects of a cancer drug.
That's a popular last name in Utah.
I shouldn't be surprised. Yeah, he came up with the wrong word, but he says it's because he was given the wrong root when he asked for the root. It's spelled L-E-U-C-O-V-O-R-I-N.
I'll give you a root. Tear it out by the root.
He got it wrong. The family appealed, arguing that Scripps omitted details when he asked a question about the word's roots. Spellers are permitted to ask questions about roots, and judges answer in the affirmative if a speller can identify a relevant root and its meaning. Scripps saying in a statement that the judges met for roughly 2 hours last night before they decided to reinstate this kid. Statement here says, the judge's decision to reinstate is backed by a belief in the B's mission to inspire the exploration of words and to celebrate academic achievement. Upon further review, it was determined that there was a more direct information available in the dictionary to the one of the speller's questions. Now, so based on this, Surya will be provided a chance to participate in round 7 with a new word.
Now, do you think that probably broke the back of one of the parents of his competitors? Where it's like, yes, he's gone.
Well,
and then all of a sudden it's like, oh.
Yeah, I mean, I think if it
were too good to be true.
If it were me, I'd say, oh, well, you did great. And let's go to, get a dinner here. But these parents appealed. And what that means is tonight for the finals, he'll be given a new word. And if he gets that word right, he'll join the 12 finalists who've already advanced to compete for more than $50,000 in cash and prizes.
That's all you get?
Yeah. Is it 50 grand for the top 12?
For the whole kit and caboodle?
That's kind of chintzy, isn't it?
You get it in a gift card.
This Surya kid is a pupil of Cole Schaefer Ray, who was the runner-up for the 2015 Spelling Bee. Cole Schaefer Ray was the coach of last year's champion. I guess I didn't realize there were Spelling Bee coaches.
Wait a minute. The champion is from just 7 years ago is teaching this kid?
Well, I mean, if you're 13 then, you're 20 now.
What? No, that doesn't add up.
Yeah, sure it does. Who better to coach you than somebody who just got out of the game?
Well, no, that I get, but...
The spelling bee hasn't passed Cole Schaefer Ray by, Darren. Cole Schaefer Ray is the person who... this is not even Cole Schaefer Ray's first year... coached the champion last year.
Cole Schaefer Ray also won the Indy 500.
Cole Schaefer Ray is a freshman at Yale University.
Oh, okay.
He says here in his spellingchamp.com, he says, some straights that describe me, enthusiastic, perfectionist, thorough, competitive, driven, and focused on excellence. Oh, gosh, that's a lot. I worry about these spelling bee kids sometimes, Just seems like...
I worry about us.
You mean the collective us or Dave and Darren us?
The two of us. Yeah. Let other people worry about other things. charity starts at home.
I guess...
And having said that, I'm going to take something from your home.
I guess at one point, one of the spellers yesterday ran off the stage.
Oh, no.
In the middle of her time at the microphone, she ran off the stage saying she had to pee. Another tried to walk back to her seat after spelling her first word correctly, only to be reminded that she had a vocabulary word next. During one particular brutal stretch, 10 consecutive spellers were eliminated.
Wow.
I guess that's rough.
I don't know that I've ever seen something like that. I know I haven't because I've never watched it.
The Scripps National Spelling Bee used to begin with a handshake. Now it starts with a slap to the face. Figuratively, not literally. I don't think they're literally slapping these kids, are they? leaner and meaner in its post-pandemic iteration. The Bee returned to its usual venue on Tuesday for the first time in 3 years, and spellers were greeted with a new preliminary round format that gave them no time to get comfortable. 13-year-old Dhruv Bharatiya, a 13-year-old from Plano, Texas, who finished fourth last year, had this to say, quote, "The prelims is no joke. Every stage of the Bee is so important."
The Bee. They call it the Bee.
In years past, the early onstage spelling rounds did little beyond weeding out the weakest or most nervous spellers, and the real action was a written test that determined who could make the cut for the semifinals. But during last year's mostly virtual Bee, the Bee's new director eliminated that test, and that structure continued as 234 spellers took the stage for this year's fully in-person competition. 88 of those spellers advanced to yesterday's quarterfinals, a success rate of 38%.
Were you ever a part of a spelling bee?
I mean, I know that we did spelling bees, but I don't think they were... It wasn't something parents came to or anything.
I don't remember being invited.
I think it was something we just did for a day in school, but I don't think it was a deal where it was you had to go on...
These kids have to be coming from somewhere.
Yeah. I don't think there's any local kids this year. Usually there's one or two local kids, right? I don't think anybody from the Quad Cities made it this year. Yeah, I don't think that's the case this year. Hey, speaking of bees, there was an attack on the World Trade Center. And I'm talking about recently. The New York Police Department had to remove...
Some bees got in there?
8,000 bees had to be removed from a side of 3 World Trade Center. This is in Lower Manhattan. 8,000 honeybees took up residence on an awning on the side of the building. The New York Police Department said personnel with the department's bee unit responded to 3 World Trade Center when the bees were spotted on late Saturday night. The New York Police Department has a bee unit. Wrap your head around that. We're bee cops.
8,000 bees and they all had box cutters. Too soon.
The bee unit safely collected the bees and relocated them to an apple orchard.
Well, that's nice.
The NYPD...
How would you like that job where you're the young kid? You've got no idea.
The NYPD said this is their bee unit's second call of the year.
Huh.
After 20,000 bees were removed from a Queens Park earlier in May.
If you're only getting 2 calls a year,
you're a New York City cop, and all you have to do is deal with bees every once in a while.
Yeah.
That's a job, man. I'll take that.
Yeah.
Bee cop. What's the worst that can happen?
Goes to voicemail and it's Bobby Goldsboro's Honey playing.
Sorry, we're not around right now. We weren't anticipating any bee stuff today.
We're not typically here.
It's a pretty cush job.
We've only got the one phone.
The Queen of England's having her big jubilee. We talked about this on our morning show today.
What a bum.
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand why it gets the coverage it gets here. I understand them giving a damn about it there, but... We fought 2 wars with England to not have to care about any of this stuff. And the last one was like 200 years ago.
Kind of kicked a little ass.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. But I thought this was interesting. Boris Johnson, the prime minister over there, in order to mark the jubilee, is saying, you know what? We're done with the metric system. They're going back to the imperial units, which is, I guess, what we use. If you're driving in England, the speed limit signs... Are they in kilometers per hour or miles per hour?
I would think they would be in kilometers.
I thought that too, but it turns out they're all miles per hour.
Are they?
Yeah. They don't use kilometers per hour on their speed limits, but you buy your milk and your beer in pints. So it's like a mix of metric and imperial measurements. And the prime minister is saying, why don't we use this as just a way to get rid of the metric system once and for all.
That call, huh?
I guess. This was something that he pledged in his campaign back in 2019, saying measuring in pounds and ounces is an ancient liberty. Because they don't love the metric system over there. And part of the reason they don't love the metric system in England is because a French guy came up with it. And that's always kind of stuck in their craw, mm-hmm. that they're using a measurement system
that
a French guy came up with. No thanks.
David French came up with a metric system.
Mr. French. You know a French dip sandwich?
Yes.
Named after Officer French. There was a cop, I think it was in San Francisco at a diner. And he came up with, hey, all that juice you use there.
As opposed to throwing that away.
Exactly. He's like, bring me that. I'm gonna dip my sandwich in that juice.
Probably some sort of late night sandwich he's having.
Yeah, I think he worked like a weird shift.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm done with my beat.
Mm-hmm. So then they would say, okay, does anyone else want the sandwich the way Officer French does it when he dips it in the juice? And it became the French dip sandwich. It has nothing to do with France. It's an American cop. His last name was French.
It was also how he did his nails.
Mm-hmm. Now on Family Affair, Sebastian Cabot had a move called the French Dip.
Yes.
Didn't involve sandwiches.
No.
Believe it.
After hours.
Oh, yeah, that was...
Off the clock, that one.
That's right. That's why the dad on that show ended up...
Although it did involve from Mrs. Beasley, the doll, did go missing a few times.
She went blind. Burlington, Wisconsin overbite air. Hot air balloon crashes.
No.
Up and away in a hot air balloon.
You ever been in a hot air balloon?
No. I don't really... That really has no appeal to me. It's not that I'm not afraid of heights. I don't like the idea of being up there and it's like, okay, well, we're just stuck here in this box.
Well, that would be the thing for me, too. It's like, okay, this is great and everything. Let's go back.
Yeah, can we land this thing?
How long is this? We're up here? How many hours?
What really tears it over by there in Burlington, Wisconsin is this hot air balloon started to lose altitude. And that's when it crashed into a train. Three adults on board suffering life-threatening injuries. The balloon went down. Early reports from witnesses on the scene indicate that the hot air balloon appeared in distress, and then it collided with a northbound Canadian National train. Hit by a train in a hot air balloon. That was something you probably paid a lot of money to do. So fanciful. Up and away in my beautiful... Hey, are we going down faster than we're supposed to? And what's with that train?
Are we
going to
clear that train?
Richard Lapidus says here, I noticed a paramedics, fire trucks, and rescue vehicles going by. A lot of them went by at the same time. Well, yes, Richard, that's what happens when there's an emergency.
Thanks for pointing that out. Yeah, they typically, if there's an accident...
You know what was?
They collectively work together.
I tell you what was so strange was the fire trucks and the ambulance and the cop cars. They all seemed like they were going the same place.
They're
taking the same streets and everything. It was blowing my mind. Richard said he saw several balloons flying low around that time. Another person had a picture of the balloon without its basket, tangled in power lines. Worst balloon flight ever. Hit by a train and then you go into power lines?
Where'd the basket go? What's in the basket?
The city of Burlington, Wisconsin, conducting a collaborative investigation with members from the National Traffic Safety Board, the Federal Aviation Administration, Canadian National, and the Wisconsin State Patrol to determine the cause of this crash. I think I have the cause. The worst luck ever. No thanks. And there's a story of a drunk driver who crashed a car and then went straight to a dealership to try and sell the damaged car with a missing tire. This happened in Evansville, Indiana. Playground of most of your prison escapees.
So she buys a vehicle.
No, it's a dude, I think.
Okay.
It's a dude, Jordan Mattingly, headed straight to the dealership to try and sell a car with a damaged missing tire. Police say they arrested the driver, who was 3.5 times over the legal limit, when at least five people called 911.
I'm willing to give you what I call the happy hour special.
Good gravy. 3.5 times over the legal limit. Not great.
Anyone who drinks and drives is a real jackass.
No field test.
Cops say the calls started coming in around 4:40 in the afternoon on Monday. They say witnesses reported seeing an SUV hit the median of an expressway. The crash caused a flat tire and the car started to smoke, but the driver kept going. Other drivers say that their callers say the driver was all over the road, now missing a front tire. They say he eventually stopped at a car dealership and appeared to be, their words now, super drunk.
Anybody want to buy a grilled cheese?
Employees told police that the driver, 30-year-old Jordan Mattingly, was trying to sell his SUV. He had swelling and scratches as if he had just been in a crash. Well, yeah.
Hey, Crashy. What are you doing down there?
They say Mattingly smelled of alcohol and almost fell several times. And when they got him to blow, Darren,
yeah,
he ended up blowing
a
.291.
There you go.
.291 on the portable breath test. Police say inside his SUV they found 4 Loco cans and a can of White Claw. Hey, man, ain't no laws of the whether you got the White Claws. Now, when I tell you that the driver's name was Jordan Mattingly,
yeah,
do you have any questions for me?
Sideburns?
Well, yes. You're right to ask that question because I'm looking at his mugshot.
Does he have any sideburns?
He has no sideburns, but he is in fact the son of Don Mattingly.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, he is the son
Donnie Baseball?
Of professional, former professional baseball player and manager for your Miami Marlins, Don Mattingly.
But this took place in Indiana, huh?
Evansville, Indiana. Look at that mugshot. No sideburns whatsoever.
Yep.
In fact, the sides of his head are shaved. I wonder if he's been getting the shave your sideburns joke his entire life.
Yeah. Can't shake it.
He's 30. He would have been a baby when that cartoon came out.
Yeah. But you, even if you're a baby, you hear things.
Damn it, shave those sideburns, Mattingly. Yeah, so Don Mattingly's kid, a little bit of trouble there. What's your go-to cereal?
Oh.
You're someone who still enjoys a bowl of cereal from time to time, aren't you?
Probably Cheerios.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a grape nut.
Mine is Cheerios as well, and I like to sweeten it up by putting a couple of Sun-Made Raisins on it.
Well, you know, the thing is, they do have flavored Cheerios now.
I'm not interested in that.
Yeah.
I don't want a child cereal, even though I had a lot of Cheerios when I was a kid, but I grew up in a house where we didn't really do sugar cereals. Cheerios to me just seems like a very wholesome American, I'm getting the grains that I need,
yeah,
the nutrients.
It allows the milk to go through it,
mm-hmm,
within you, without you.
Exactly. Those people running around,
you know,
they'll screw you in the ground.
The Cheerio, there is no beginning, there's no end.
Mm-hmm. What you've got means such a lot to me. There's a new cereal that'll be on store shelves soon. It's called Period Crunch. And the goal of Period Crunch is to normalize menstruation talk at the breakfast table.
Oh, boy.
It's a bowl of raspberry-flavored uteruses.
Come on.
Raspberry-flavored uteruses. It says putting period conversations on the table. Uterus-shaped cereal pieces.
Although I
with
have
a
noticed,
strawberry flavor.
I have noticed in some of the new commercials,
mm-hmm,
they are being a little more grown up about things.
Yeah.
Where like they'll be talking about shaving your pubic area.
Yeah.
Your pubic hair, mm-hmm, they will even mention.
Yeah. Well, you hear the
as
word...
As opposed to trying to be, you know...
There's one of the medications that talks about your... Is it your perineum? Taint is what we call it.
Mm, yes.
But I hear that in just about... And the thing is... It's not like they mention it. They mention that you could be bleeding from it if you take the medication.
If you get punched in it.
Don't get taint punched.
Hello.
While taking this medication.
Hello. I'm Jordan Mattingly.
P- Period.
Have you been punched?
Period crunch. I mean, you look at this and you think, okay, well, this is an April Fool's joke,
yeah,
but it's
what is it?
It's June, so
what
this is
it?
No. The point of period crunch is to encourage families to discuss menstruation more openly, even at the breakfast table.
Here, have a bowl of it.
They say that the people at Period Crunch say a recent survey found 48% of adults are embarrassed to talk about menstruation.
What would you like to know?
Yeah, what's
Can
there,
I answer any of your questions?
What's there to talk about? 77% say they don't mention periods in their daily life. Well, I mean, I've never mentioned it.
Period.
Daily. Full stop. Period. And 88% of people were, according to this, unable to locate the uterus on the body.
Well, you know, it typically doesn't show.
No. You're doing something wrong if you're looking at the uterus.
If you can see the uterus from mm-hmm. where you're sitting,
yeah, you might want to
back off.
turn your helmet light off and get out of there. You've gone in too deep, my man. Period crunch includes a diagram of the female reproductive system on the back of the box.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, it's a conversation you can have.
I'll tell you what, if you got any questions
during breakfast,
just, you know, call the B phone and I'll answer as best I can.
Yeah, that would be great. NYPD, you know, we can't justify just having you guys be B cops.
You need to do something else.
We're gonna have to.
Would you be willing to have the talk with anyone who calls you?
You know, when Uncle Ruth comes to town. No, wait, it's not Uncle Ruth. Aunt Flo. Uncle Ruth, is that a thing?
Uncle Ruth?
I don't know.
Who delivers the babies? Uncle Ruth.
Aunt Flo is what I was trying
Aunt
to think
Flo.
Of. It's been a long day. I apologize. buddy of mine, his daughter had her bat mitzvah over the weekend.
Uh-huh.
And he was saying that he was just mentally exhausted from it because it's, you know, it's
quite
pretty
a preparation
heavy.
And everything.
Yeah, you do all this work for it and then it's over with and then you realize, you know, how quickly your kids have grown up. There's a story here of a bat mitzvah that was taking place in Minneapolis and they were doing it over Zoom. A Zoom bat mitzvah at the Temple Beth El in Minneapolis. They were hosting a bat mitzvah online when a horny couple who had joined a synagogue service on Zoom forgot to turn their camera off before they were having sex. So during the bat mitzvah on Zoom, these two are just destroying each other in front of all of the congregants. They're seen walking around naked and engaging in various sexual activities for almost an hour before someone else on the Zoom call phoned them to alert them that they were on Zoom. One person who requested anonymity telling the New York Post here, it went on for about 45 minutes.
Nice session.
If you had their phone number and you knew who it was, why wouldn't you call them immediately?
Yeah.
Hang on. Let's see where this is going.
No, wait a minute. I'd like to see this play out a bit.
This is a real mitzvah, what's happening here. Let's see what happens. Someone, let's see, they say here, she was walking around naked, she got dressed, she's in and out of the Zoom, he was in the bed, he whipped it out, she started going to work, someone on the Zoom saw and called her and was like, what the are you doing?
What do you think I'm doing?
You're on camera. It was a Zoom for a bat mitzvah. Most people were not on camera except like the old bubbies who didn't know how to turn off their camera and these two people. So the boxes were pretty big, and everybody could see who was on camera. It is worth pointing out, they say here, that that sex on the Sabbath is specifically encouraged in the Talmud.
Encouraged?
Yeah, you're supposed to do it on Saturday, I guess. Matt Walzer, Managing Director for Temple.
S-A-T-U-R-D-A-Y, night.
The Managing Director of Temple Beth El up there in Minneapolis says, I'm aware of the incident. And I won't be commenting on the details. Oh my gosh! Just letting your freak flag fly during this girl's bat mitzvah. I don't know if you saw this one. They say that if you're an older person who drinks.
Yes, check.
You will recover from surgery much faster than people who don't. Now, this is for people over the age of 60.
Well,
I mean, you'll get
close
there
enough.
Yeah, you'll get there before too long.
I think that counts.
If you're over 60 and you drink, it could boost your health by cutting stress as well as leading to a better social life. But the additional benefit, according to this new study, is people who drank medium to, their words, potentially hazardous amounts of alcohol feel better during hospital treatment. They reported less disability and pain and better overall health before and after operations compared to people who had little or no alcohol. This is a study that was done by University Hospital Bonn in Germany. They looked at 628 aging patients. The lead author is Vera Gutenhaler. Linus Vera says here, quote, higher alcohol consumption may lead to elevated mood, enhanced sociability, and reduced stress.
I can almost guarantee it.
The study was revealed at the Euro Anesthesia Congress in Milan. Can't believe we're not there right now. Could soon, instead of text messages, we could soon, there's a brand new invention where instead of text messages, we could be sending holograms to each other.
Like Princess Leia?
Exactly.
Oh, you'd love that.
I can't believe you're the one that made that reference. A Brooklyn-based tech company has the future in an 8-inch display box. It's a holographic display box, and you can look at it from up to 100 different viewing angles. They call it the Looking Glass block. Looking Glass. This company manufactures holographic displays, which can convert two-dimensional images into three-dimensional, unforgettable presentations. The product is an electronic screen the size of a desktop picture frame that gives all of your photos depth and motion-induced realism. The founder of Looking Glass is Sean Frain, and he writes, I always wanted a way for everyone to have their own holographic display. There are, 20,000 of these right now, and you can buy them for $400.
Looking Glass.
Yeah, that's
you
what
mean
they
like
call it.
Brandy, You're a Fine Girl?
Did they have any other hits?
I think that was it.
What? Like, how does that work if you're the Looking Glass? Did they go on tour?
Oh, I'm sure they did.
And did they have to do Brandy twice?
Well.
They were part of the Jersey Shore sound. I always assumed that the Looking Glass was an English group. That's an American group?
Hanging out with Bruce.
I'm looking here. Brandy went to number one,
number
on the
one.
Charts. Their follow-up tune was Golden Rainbow, which didn't chart at all.
It made no sense.
Golden Rainbow?
Easy, fellas.
What is it?
Easy, fellas. Let's take it easy with this Golden Rainbow talk.
Yeah, that's gross. Then their follow-up to Golden Rainbow was a tune called Rainbow Man.
Again, guys.
Then they had a hit song called Jimmy Loves Marianne in 1973 that went all the way to number 33 on the charts. Can't say I've ever heard that one.
Well, don't know that one either.
Looking Glass.
But they're from the Jersey Shore. They've got a number one. Bruce never got one.
Bruce never had a number one song.
Never had number one.
Really? Well, I would argue that Bruce had a better career.
Well, that's debatable.
Looking Glass was a band from 1969. They broke up in 74, and then they got back together in 2003, and they're still on the road.
What?
Wow. I had no idea.
Do you think they'll do Brandy?
I have a feeling.
Do you think they're going to do the Golden Rainbow? I'm going to have to cover the kids' ears and eyes.
I have a feeling.
And if they dare do Rainbow Man, we're leaving.
It was number two on the chart for 4 weeks. You know the song that wouldn't get out of its way?
What?
Gilbert O'Sullivan's Alone Again,
Naturally. Natch.
And then...
That would have been like right around now because those were summertime hits.
And it was released in May of 1972. Yeah. Boy, you're on top of it. And then Brandy, You're a Fine Girl kicked out of the number one spot by Gilbert O'Sullivan's Alone Again Naturally.
I'm back. Natch.
Get this. Move.
Who did we get knocked out by? By what song?
The song Mandy by Barry Manilow was originally Brandy.
Yeah.
It was, oh, Brandy, you came and you gave without taking.
But it changed because of the success of this song.
But Brandy was such a hit that they're like, you can't, we can't have another song called Brandy.
It's too soon.
What do I go with? Frandy? Plandy? Zandy? How about...
Or just a different alcohol entirely.
Oh. Is... Shandy? Like a...
Can't do tequila. That's been used.
At some point, you get to the point where you realize all of the women's names have been used for titles of songs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not great. What are we going to do, Barry? I got to figure this out. All right. Everybody write down 10 women's names. We're not leaving here until we get a name for Brandy. That's not Brandy. Don't write down Brandy. That's the one we can't use.
Okay, what did you go with, Jim? I went with Brandy.
No! What did I say? Quit writing down Splendid Sunrise. That doesn't make sense in 1974.
I came up with Amandy. Amandy, you know, short for Amanda. I think Mandy's short for Amanda. There's no Amandy.
Amandy. Oh, Amandy.
Wait a minute.
You came and you gave without taking.
The nickname for Amanda.
I have Randy and Andy. Well, those are guys' names. Yes. Barry. 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 Barry.
You know me, Barry.
Barry. That's going to do it for this patron-exclusive episode of Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things podcast. Thank you so much, patrons, for your continued support. We enjoy doing these patron-only shows. We'll have another one for you in June,
We
right?
like to say that we could do it without you, but we won't.
Yeah, we absolutely refuse. Until we get a chance to do it for you again, patrons, thanks for your support. Hang loose, kooks.
You stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities reference spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked. Rock out, come on, and it just don't stop. East Moline, yeah, they keeping it hot.
I'm done. Do what you want. Pull the plug.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.